Wonderful. Okay, well, do you feel you've got a sort of a little bit of a handle on Nehemiah now? We've looked at it a little bit this weekend, and you can always go and read his story in the Old Testament, because he was an incredible character who not only built the walls of Jerusalem, but actually helped the people to build their lives again in God, which is what we wanted to learn from him. And in a moment, we're going to, Ben's going to worship for us, and we're going to, some of us are going to pray for you all, okay, just individually. And I'll say something about that at the moment, but I just want to tie up the end of Nehemiah so you know what you're looking for if you go to it. And we actually got to chapter 7 yesterday. We won't look at that at the moment. But chapter 7 was where Nehemiah made sure he appointed the right people to take charge of the city, to take charge of the gates. And he also was checking that the people who were coming in were really, really belonged to the people of God. And that if they weren't, they weren't sent away, but just so that he knew who really had the life and calling of God in them. Well, that was up to chapter 7. And then chapter 8 is all about where he thought, now, what do we do next? We need to establish the word of God in these people's lives. They were rebuilding their lives, and so the word of God needed to have a very prime place. And so Ezra the scribe had come to Jerusalem, and Ezra, he made himself a little platform so everybody could hear him, didn't have microphones, and gathered all the people, and then he read to them the words of God, from the word of God. He read to them from morning till evening, and as they heard what God had commanded them as people, they began to weep, because they realized that they had never really touched into the word of God. They hadn't really let it influence their lives. So that's chapter 8 is all about the way they first of all began to weep as they realized they hadn't always obeyed God. But then Ezra said to them, don't weep, because today is a day of joy. We're reestablishing the word of God in our lives. So don't weep, rejoice, be happy. And they began to rejoice. And then chapter 9, what they did next was, out of that rejoicing as they heard the word of God, they began to repent. They began to confess their sins. In fact, it's a very interesting chapter because it tells us how they first of all began to look at their history. See, what they thought to themselves is, we've been 70 years in captivity as a people. So now we're back in Jerusalem, and now the temple's been rebuilt, the altar's been rebuilt, and now even the walls are being rebuilt. So Lord, how did we get into that place where we're in such a mess? I don't know if you've ever in your life thought that about yourself. Lord, how did I get into this mess? How did it come to this place? But many people do come to that. And so they began to confess the sins of their ancestors. First of all, though, I think I mentioned to you yesterday, there are two kinds of confession. Do you remember what they were? Confession of faith was one, yep. And confession of sin. Great. So the two kinds of confession, you can see them there in chapter 9, are the two kinds of confession, faith and sin. Because what they did, first of all, was they said, Lord, we remember how you chose Abraham, how you established him, how you began the line that eventually led to the Messiah, of course. But they talked about the way God led them, the way he saw them when they were afflicted in Egypt and brought them out under Moses, how they took them to the Red Sea. Throughout chapter 9, it's talking about, God, you were so wonderful. You met out the people of God, and you were with us. It was their confession of faith. Lord, you're with us. But then, when he got to verse 16, so the first 15 verses of chapter 9 are all about their confession of faith, that God had done wonderful things for them, even giving them water from the rock, you remember, he tells them. I'll just read you verse 15. That's the last bit of the confession of faith. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger. You brought them water out of the rock for their thirst, and you told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. And then verse 16 begins the confession of sin. But they and our fathers acted proudly. They hardened their necks. They didn't heed your commandments. I better read this one because it's different to my Bible, okay? Let's have the next verse. They refused to listen and didn't remember your wondrous deeds which you performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But Here's faith again. You are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. This whole chapter is that combination of the two things. Lord, you are just such a wonderful God. You're so kind. You're so gracious. You forgive. But also, but Lord, we've messed up. We've done things wrongly. We ignored you. We were stubborn. We were rebellious. Have you ever been in that place where you've sought to put your everything that you know that you've done against God's will before him and ask his forgiveness afresh? So you've experienced confession of sin and confession of faith. Okay, and then we come to the next chapter. Oops, can't turn the page. Right, and we have here that what they did was they made a covenant or a commitment to the Lord. And they actually wrote it down and they signed it. And they committed themselves to, in future, to make the Lord their God, to follow his ways, to obey his commands. And they began to order their lives according to this covenant or commitment. I remember when I was a young Christian, because I either read this or heard someone speak on it, I wrote out my own commitment to the Lord on a little sheet of paper, and I kept it in my Bible for many years. I expect it fell out at some point. I don't know what point it got lost, but I had it there for a good number of years. And if I opened my Bible, I would see my commitment. I commit myself today to follow the Lord my God, to obey him, and to take hold of his word, to pray, all those things in my life I did then, to listen to him. And it was very important to me, and it's actually something that's worth doing. Some of you keep journals or diaries, and if you do, it's worth writing something in there. Because when you've written it and you see it again, you think, yes, that's right, I agree with that. But it kind of commits you. And part of that commitment they made in, I think it's still chapter 10 and 11, was they committed themselves to tithe. Isn't that amazing? Some people find the whole concept of tithing or giving really problematic. But it's actually incredibly important in the Christian life. We have a friend who many years ago, when he was, he came to the Lord, and he began to follow the Lord. He made a real commitment and he married a Christian girl. But then things he'd never sorted out in his life rose to the surface, and he wasn't faithful, and he was rebellious and difficult. And one day God met him in a very, it was actually because I think his wife was about to go to leave him, and he suddenly didn't want to lose his wife and children. And so he committed himself to the Lord, and he prayed with a Christian leader who prayed for him, and he began to weep, and he got his life totally straightened out, and he went forward from that point on. But a few years later, he began to think, there's something else I need to do. I don't know if he read the word, but he thought, I need to start my giving sorted out, because they always felt that they never had any money to give. You know how it is. They would say, we just can't afford to give anything, really, because we use everything we have on family and house and all the rest. However, he felt so exercised about it, he didn't talk to other people. He told us about it later. But at the time, he didn't. He felt, I'm going to start to give to the Lord. And I'm going to start to tithe. You know, that was giving a tenth, because the word says put aside a tenth at the beginning of the week. So now, actually, they already had an overdraft as a family, but he set up a standing order to give into the work of God, into the church. And what actually happened when this standing order went through the bank was that the bank manager, in those days they had bank managers in local branches, I don't think they do now, but anyway, he called him up and said, would you mind coming in and talking to me? And our friend went in, and the bank manager said to him, look, you already have an overdraft, and now you've set up this standing order, what is it for? And he said, it's my giving to God. And the bank manager said, like, you must be crazy. You can't give on top of nothing when you haven't got it. And this man, he was so convinced that God had said it to him that he said, I believe that God said this to me, and that if I do it, that he will bless me. And he said to the bank manager, so would you give me a few months at least to demonstrate that I won't get into a huge overdraft? And the bank manager said, Okay, I'll give you 4 months. Okay, and after that time, we are stopping this thing. And anyway, what actually happened, he never told anybody. He just did this between him and God. But what actually happened was, and he said to this day, he didn't really know how it happened, but the overdraft began to come down and down and down. And they began to find they had enough to live on. And he said, the wonderful thing was, at the end of 4 months, the bank manager spoke to him again and said, well, okay, I have to say, you're right. Okay, so you can leave that in place. And he did. And God began to bless his life so that eventually he went into Christian leadership and began to serve the Lord because he was wanting to be obedient. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody should do just that, but sometimes when we feel, I can't possibly obey God in that because that's too much, we need to have our own life with God, don't we? We need for him to guide us as to what is the right thing to do in our lives. And that's what our friend did. So there we have, in that covenant in chapter 10, chapters 10 and 11, particularly chapter 11, talks about tithing, about giving to God. And the next chapter, Ben's going to deal with in the next section. So isn't that wonderful? Because it's all about worship. But what I wanted us to do just now, I put those thoughts before you. You can always look them up in Nehemiah, but I wanted to pray for people. So Ben, would you mind coming and leading worship for us? We've got until 11 o'clock. And as Ben plays, what I had on my heart this morning, the words kept going through my mind this morning. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I felt that the Lord wanted us to pray that in. So as I move around, and as David, I'm sure, will join me, perhaps Ian and Gunilla, we can just move around and we'll pray over you. I'm not going to ask you what you want prayed for because I'm just going to listen to God, okay? But it will probably be something along the lines of, you need to find the way. Are you finding guidance difficult at this point? Jesus is the way. Are we finding that we've been surrounded, as our culture is, by all sorts of untruths, lies? Well, Jesus is the truth, and we can hear the truth from him. And are you feeling that your life is over, or you feel devoid of life? Well, Jesus is the life. And I want you to take hold of whichever of those things is most relevant to you, and I might just pray according to that guidance. So you're all used to speaking in tongues. I pray a lot in tongues because it's a language of the Spirit. And sometimes God gives me revelation of what I'm praying about then in my own language, in English. So don't worry if I pray of you in tongues. I just want the Lord to get deeper into our lives, and I want us to find what he's saying. So Ben's going to play, and then somebody says, is that okay, you two, if you join in? We can just go along the different rows and...